Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the massive New York Times investigation into the extent to which Trump is the self-made man he claims to be, and speak with the Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter David K. Johnson, the co-founder of DCReport.org and the author of It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. He joins us to discuss how Trump, thanks to his father, became a millionaire at the age of 8, and through his 40s and 50s received more than $5 million a year from Fred Trump. But more importantly, Trump received the equivalent today of $413 million from his father to get started in real estate, even though Trump repeatedly claims that he built what he built himself without any help from his dad. We will also look into how much Fred Trump bailed out his son from big bets that went bust, like Trump Shuttle, the Plaza Hotel, and the Atlantic City casinos, to the tune of $140 million in today's dollars, much of which was never repaid. Then we'll speak with Julian Zelizer, Professor of History and Public Affairs at Princeton University, about his article at The Atlantic, What Happened to Lindsey Graham? We will discuss how, since the death of Senator Graham's close friend and moral conscience, John McCain, the senator has gone overboard embracing Trump to the point where he has become the most outspoken champion of Trump's embattled nominee to the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. It is no small irony that when Congressman Lindsey Graham was one of the most zealous members of the House Judiciary Committee in pursuing the impeachment of President Clinton, he worked closely with Brett Kavanaugh. Back then, Graham made the case that the main issue was Clinton's perjury, not the extramarital sex he lied about. And now that perjury is the main issue at hand with Kavanaugh, not sexual assault or a weakness for brewskis, Graham is Kavanaugh's most ardent defender. Then finally, we will assess what kind of an improvement over NAFTA the new USMCA agreement is now that President Trump is singing its praises and claiming that his slapping tariffs on Mexico and Canada and getting tough with them are the reasons why he got the agreement. Matt Gold, a professor of law at Fordham University who held an appointment in the executive office of the president as the deputy assistant U.S. trade representative for North America, joins us to discuss how the modest gains in the new agreement are not worth the rancor and resentment Trump has stirred up with our neighbors. And joining us now is David K. Johnston, the Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter and best-selling author of The Making of Donald Trump. He has lectured on economics, journalism, and tax policy on every continent except Antarctica, and is a former president of Investigative Reporters and Editors, and he recently co-founded DCReport.org, and his latest book is It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. Welcome to Background Briefing, David K. Johnston.
Well, Ian, thank you for having me on again.
Well, thanks for joining us on this busy news day. Not that every day lately is a busy news day, but the New York Times have done an extraordinary investigation into the origins of Trump as the self-made billionaire that he claims to be. And it turns out that his father made him a millionaire at the age of 8, and during Trump's 40s and 50s, he was receiving more than $5 million a year from his father. And then when he decided to go into the real estate business, his father gave him the equivalent in today's dollars of $413 million. Much of this, of course, was not repaid and was covered up in dubious tax schemes. So walk us through what you think are the highlights of this extraordinary piece of investigative reporting from the New York Times.
Well, it's relevant to two things here. One is I was the Times tax reporter for 13 years and, of course, have covered Donald longer than anybody else, more than 30 years. So I have a lot of deep knowledge of many of these events. Donald Trump and the Trump family have been liars and cheats for forever. And the Times documents, for example, invoicing schemes, which are a common way to cheat. You buy something, they show in one case, for $640, but you put down in your books that it cost you almost $1,000. And therefore, you get a much bigger tax write-off from it. And they show that this wasn't a one-off experience. There were 295 separate invoicing schemes that Fred Trump used to cheat the government and transfer money to his children, one of whom to this day is a sitting federal judge, Marianne Trump Barry. The Times says that it has, and I'm sure they do, hundreds of thousands of pages of documents provided to them. And they've got sworn testimony by Donald's brother, Robert, about one of the invoicing schemes where, under oath, he admits that they're doing this. Given that we know from other records before this that Donald Trump cheated Polish workers who were in the country without permission out of their enormous $4-an-hour pay, a judge held that he had engaged in a conspiracy to cheat those workers, that he cheated the city of New York out of $3 million of rent and went to extraordinary lengths to hide books and records so that he could get away with cheating, and that the only known case of cheating a gambler in Atlantic City was at the Trump's Castle Casino, together with a lot of other evidence. This is a really extraordinary job of nailing down, bolting down thoroughly that the president of the United States is a criminal. Now, most of the items described in the Times reporting are not any longer eligible for criminal prosecution because of statutes of limitations. There's some minor exceptions you could get around them, but I doubt we will see that. But there is no federal or New York State statute of limitations on civil tax fraud. This is one of the reasons that since June 15th at D.C. Report and elsewhere, I have been calling for a criminal investigation of the Trump tax returns in the expectation that they may find criminal charges they can bring on events that have happened from 2011 forward, but certainly to bring civil charges to collect the hundreds of millions of dollars, which with penalties and interest would now be well over $1 billion, that Donald Trump owes the federal government and the state of New York.
So on top of all that, of course, David K. Johnson, Trump is a complete liar in terms of fabricating his mythology of being the self-made billionaire, because in his books and on his TV show and on the campaign trail, he's always talked about how he began building his own empire and that the only financial help that he got from his father, Fred Trump, was a $1 million loan. And not only that, Trump went on to say, I had to pay him back with interest. Turns out that he stiffed his father.
Well, it turns out his father gave him, the Times calculates, $430 million. And one of the schemes they show is that when Donald was in need of some money, actually wasn't in need of money, in 1987 he was flush with money, his father paid $15.5 million for a partial interest in a Donald Trump apartment building in Manhattan. Not Trump Tower, but Trump Plaza. And 4 years later, he sold it back for $10,000. That's just a tax evasion scheme, plain and simple. And the four-year time period is significant because of an issue in terms of IRS internal record keeping. Somebody knew that if they waited 4 years, that would be smarter. They would have been really smart to wait 6 years. But the Donald Trump's whole story that I'm a self-made man, the Times shows, is completely bogus, and they show it with the internal family records, not just public filings, but somebody has clearly given them books and ledger sheets from within the government. And secondly, Ian, and I think this is really important, Donald Trump during the campaign kept telling us he was worth more than $10 billion. Nobody but D.C. Report or those who reprinted us has pointed out that his statement of net worth filed under penalty of perjury after he became president was only $1.4 billion. So virtually 90% of his claimed wealth disappeared between the day of voting in 2016 and the day he took office 10 weeks later. And even that statement shows grossly inflated values, and because of peculiar federal rules, does not show all of his debt. There is not now, Ian, and there never has been, one scintilla of verifiable evidence that Donald Trump is or ever was a billionaire.
Well, but David, he is the greatest president the American people have ever had, and in 2 years he's done more than any other president in the history of the United States.
Yes, and, you know, I'm an incredibly handsome movie star my own mansion in Beverly Hills. I mean, Donald just makes stuff up. He's done this his whole life. He's gotten away with it because he's a good story. The one thing that journalists are always in the tank for is a good story. And the Times points out that and names a small group of us, the late, great Wayne Barrett, who was the first person to get onto Trump, me, the second, Gwenda Blair, who did a multi-generation history of the Trump family, and Tim O'Brien, my former New York Times colleague, who wrote Trump Nation, that except for us, basically everybody bought his BS, and they continue to buy it. Right. And
a third of the country bought it, David.
Yeah, it is just incredible. I mean, I get emails and notes and people responding to my Twitter feed all the time that, you know, this is the greatest president of all times. I'm an idiot. He's of this and that. And it shows how we in America have failed to develop critical thinking skills, and that's because our education system was designed as we were leaving the agricultural world of the past for the industrial world that came about in this country starting about 1865. And we produced drones, people who are not supposed to ask critical questions. And so lots of people, they don't have the capacity. They were never taught. Here is how you critically evaluate things. Here is how you listen to claims and understand their truth or falsity. But this New York Times piece makes it, I think, absolutely mandatory for two things to happen. Congress must begin an investigation of Trump, and if the Republicans won't do it, the Democrats need to promise that, assuming they get control of the House or Senate, it is what they will start on January 3rd of next year when the new Congress takes hold. And secondly, Judge Marianne Trump Barry must remove herself from the bench immediately, and if she doesn't do so, then the executive office of the courts or whoever is responsible, I have to look up who that is, has to prevent her from hearing any cases, because the implication here is that she is the beneficiary of decades of criminal behavior.
And again, I'm speaking with David K. Johnston, the Pulitzer Prize-winning investor reporter and best-selling author of The Making of Donald Trump. He has lectured on economics, journalism, and tax policy on every continent except Antarctica, and is a former president of Investigative Reporters and Editors. And he recently co-founded DCReport.org. And his latest book is It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. Let's talk about, though, how not only did Fred Trump get Donald Trump started in business with $413 million in today's dollars when Trump said he didn't get a dime from his dad, he got $1 million. And not only that, he had to pay...
As a loan.
Yeah, as a loan, and he had to pay him back, all of which is bogus. But when Trump... In the 1980s, some of his big bets went bust, like Trump Shuttle, the Plaza Hotel, and the Atlantic City casinos. Fred Trump again steps in, and one of the most amazing things that he did, and you've pointed out before that Donald Trump is the only American businessman who, in a casino where the house always wins, managed to go broke. But the father, apparently, what he did was he bought $3.5 million in casino chips at Trump's Atlantic City casino.
Yeah, that, Ian, is not new. I reported on that when I was at the Philadelphia Inquirer covering Atlantic City in 1990. The Wall Street Journal broke that story. They got out there ahead of me, to their credit. But this was a typical scheme. In Atlantic City, to make sure the mob was not involved, there were rules about putting money in. You couldn't be a hidden investor like we know mob guys were in Las Vegas. And when Donald couldn't make a bond payment, his lawyer came down with $3.5 million in cash, bought chips, and then left without gambling. The state later fined Donald, I don't know, $30,000 or $40,000, a slap on the wrist. And that $3.5 million meant that Donald had enough cash to pay his bondholders. Because Donald's whole scheme is what you're seeing him do to the federal government now. You just borrow money like crazy and don't worry about it and spend it, and then you don't pay people back. In fact, he said once, I borrowed money knowing I wouldn't pay it back. If that isn't a criminal statement, I don't know what is. And I've been writing about criminals for a half a century.
So... why do you think so many people in this country bought this idea? Is it this aspirational politics that somehow we can all win the lottery, or that somehow that all this gold, you know, there's an old joke in Hollywood, you tear off the off the tinsel of Hollywood, and underneath there's real tinsel. In his case,
yes, well,
in his case, you know, you peel off the gold.
And there's dross there.
Right.
Well, Ian, I think there are two big factors here. I mean, one is that Martin Luther King said he wanted a society where we would judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And instead, with money porn, we have created a society where we judge people by the content of their wallet, or in Donald's case, the claimed content of their wallet. So there's that one aspect of it. But the much deeper aspect is that both political parties have failed to deal with the needs and wants and reasonable expectations of ordinary Americans. Today, the bottom 90% of Americans are making only a tiny bit more money when you adjust for inflation than they made in 1968, 50 years ago. And when you look at housing, for every dollar of equity, Americans overall have added to the housing they have, they've taken on $2 of debt. That's not a prescription for prosperity. That is a prescription for being on a hamster wheel until you drop dead. We have cut back on the things like education. I mean, when I went to college in California in the 60s and 70s, it was literally free. I paid Foothill Junior College in 1968-69 in today's dollars, $120, and $90 of that was for a parking permit. So I paid $30 to go to college. Anybody who has a kid in college or is paying off student debt knows that even at junior colleges now, it's 10 grand a year. And we've done a whole variety of things that have redistributed money to those at the top. Now, I wrote a trilogy about this, Perfectly Legal, Free Lunch, and The Fine Print. And in 2012, when the last book came out, I said on TV, anybody who runs for president on the economics in this book will get elected. And I know Donald saw me saying this because he called other people, and his economics, not his racism and all the other stuff, but his economics, a lot of it comes right out of the key points I made in those books. Donald didn't read them, but he saw me on TV talking about them. You know, Washington has been taking care of rich people in itself, not you. We need to drain the swamp, et cetera, et cetera. And Donald is a master marketer. And this is a guy who knows how to sell nonsense and get people to believe him. Remember, this is a man who got national news coverage of his claim back in 1990 that the actress Kim Basinger, who was a big deal back then, Madonna, and Carla Bruni, who later became the First Lady of France, were sleeping with him. Absolute made-up nonsense. But more importantly, why would, you know, alleged self-proclaimed billionaire says he's sleeping with women, not his wife, why would that be national news?
Well,
I mean,
well,
like,
you just have to go through the checkout at the supermarket to answer that question. Except,
well,
it's not
yes,
the national news.
It's
his buddy
part of
at the
money porn.
Right.
Money, it's part of the money porn problem in the
right.
country.
Well, let's. But I just we got a minute
to be in the supermarket yeah. checkout. He yeah. was on NBC national news.
Right. Well, just in the last minute, because I really wanted to get to this, David. Just what the New York Times investigation finds that when the Fred Trump empire was sold, Donald Trump got a windfall, but he left money on the table, and that the master deal maker actually made a bad deal and sold low.
Well, yes, and that's because, of course, Donald is not a businessman. He is a cash extractor. I've talked to people about that deal, but never had the documents. The New York Times has to write about it. But yes, he made a very bad deal. He'd be much better off today if they had kept the properties. That's why Fred Trump wanted forever for his ancestors to hold on to these properties. And it goes to the fact that, well, Donald claims to be a great negotiator. I've negotiated with Donald many times. He's a horrible negotiator. And he's really horrible. What he does is he finds somebody with a vulnerability. He knows somebody is trying to do a deal and they've got to close at a certain date because they need the cash for something mm-hmm. else, and he uses that against them. He does what's called competitive negotiation, not cooperative. In cooperative negotiation, you and I can make a deal, Ian, and we both come out ahead. In competitive, one of us comes out vanquishing the other, and that's how Donald talks all the time. So it's not at all surprising that he made a bad deal. It is, however, a bad deal in which he walked away with, in today's money, almost a quarter of $1 billion.
Right. We should all be so lucky to make such bad deals. I thank you, David. We've run out of time, but I very much appreciate you filling us in on this important New York Times story.
Take care. Ian.
You too. And again, I've been speaking with David K. Johnson, a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter and bestselling author of The Making of Donald Trump. He's lectured on economics, journalism, and tax policy on every continent except Antarctica, and is a former president of Investigative Reporters and Editors. And he recently co-founded DCReport.org, and his latest book is It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back looking into what happened to Lindsey Graham.